It's time for The Drive on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Glacier Garage, a local show for gearheads, car lovers, and those who just want to learn more about anything with four wheels. And now, The Drive on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome to The Drive on KFAR Radio. You are here with Harley.
And Brandon.
All right, so, second part of top 10 things to look up before you hand over your hard-earned cash for that used ride. So we kind of went over the first five from like most important to least important. Seller's vibe, they seem shady. Title and paperwork, accident history. Does it got a clean title? Does it have matching VINs? Is there a bunch of accidents on this thing? Do you have service history? Do you have service records? Like, has it had its oil changed in 100,000 miles? Don't know. And then the importance of the test drive. Like you were saying, you can tell more in a 10-minute test drive than you can in 30 minutes of crawling around a car. So it's definitely important to get those test drives in. And stop-and-go traffic, different conditions are also very telling. I'm just touching back on that.
And test drives. So when you told the story, I guess it'd be last week now, about your experience of the lady driving the Tahoe or whatever it was and blew a red light with you in the passenger seat.
Scary. Thought I was going to die.
So do you guys know, is there a vetting process? Probably for the Corvettes, right? If someone wants to come in and...
So the sports cars, like, yeah, higher trim level sports cars, it was almost like once you're approved and you agree to purchase based on price and payment, yeah, let's go drive your car.
Right.
Like, you now have the means to buy it and we know it. And you saw what the monthly payment might be. If you still want to test drive it, we'll go test drive it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you come in and you want to look at an $80,000 pickup, I'm going to show you that $80,000 pickup and we're going to go drive it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little backwards, but at the same time, I guess not really.
Yeah.
So you look like you have a story.
Well, I was selling my Z06 Corvette, which was modified on the private market. And I've seen people do it where it's like no test drives without money. It's like,
yeah,
if you don't show up with like however many tens of thousands of dollars in cash, you're not going to drive my car. But no, I let probably two or three people and let them look at the car and drive the car before selling it. And I will never do that again because I had a very similar experience where
just sketchy.
Yeah. I hop in the passenger seat. I'm like, yeah, dude, let's go rip it. And wow, like roads like South Cushman in South Florida doing like $120.
Okay, we're all gonna die.
I was like, you are out of your mind. Get out of the car.
Yeah.
Like just banging gears, smashing on it. Like,
I don't even know if I'd give them a ride back to where we started. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I ended up, no, I did. I did. Yeah, I took over and brought him back. And
he was like, thanks for the test drive, man. I can't even buy this. That,
straight up hustled, probably. Just wanted to see what the car felt like.
Yeah.
But that was the last. That wasn't like the first one, and then I just didn't learn my lesson. But that was like the last dude I let drive my car. I was like, no, I'm done. Like, unless you come up with cash or pre-approval or something, like, you're not driving the car. And the very next dude bought it. So,
man. So I got to say, I rode in a Lambo today for the first time. It was an experience. It was better than I thought it was going to be because I was kind of like, we've ridden in cars that are faster, like quarter mile time, like all that stuff, more power. It's definitely a different experience.
It's different.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, didn't necessarily make me want to go buy a Lambo, but it was definitely eye-opening. Like, there's levels to that car game, right? And even though it's still like a low 11-second car and we've owned cars faster, just as fast, it's a different experience, I got to say. So, pretty cool. Just wanted to say that.
Does it, does it compare to, like, your C7 Grand Sport?
So, yeah, so that's kind of what I was comparing it to. Is like, even my 6-gen Camaro that was, like, you know, 670 wheel horsepower, fast car, that Lambo hit so much harder down low. Being all-wheel drive, it's a different
feeling. Probably the difference, for sure.
Yeah, super light car, power-to-weight ratio, all-wheel drive. It's just a well-engineered car. Like, you can feel it. And then the shifts were insane. Like, every shift hit. I was like, dang.
Nice.
Okay, I see you, Lambo. So, back to our list. Number five, we kind of touched on a little bit. Mechanical checkup, so pre-purchase inspection. It's basically like, would you marry someone without meeting their parents? Do you buy a car without meeting a mechanic? Those type of things. Always get a trusted mechanic to inspect your vehicle. It is worth every single penny. Because, I mean, our pre-buy inspections are $99. And, again, it just gets a full, quick evaluation of safety, maintenance items, things like that. And then we look at any check engine lights, see what possibly could be going on. It's very telling. Like, I just bought, I bought an 08 Silverado, had check engine light, and the guy's like, eh, it's got an EVAP code. And once I, like, looked into the truck, yeah, it's got an EVAP code. The filler neck is, like, non-existent. So, yeah, it's got an EVAP issue. But luckily, I have a little bit of mechanical experience and background that it's like, okay, yeah, it's pretty verifiable pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times, it's not just that.
But, and as a consumer, I would throw away $100 in a heartbeat to not buy, like, a $20,000 just clapper.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And they're out there. We see a lot of vehicles come through. It's insane how many cars. These Fairbanks roads are not gentle on vehicles. And so, you know, some maintenance issues that aren't necessarily vital to your day-to-day travel to work doesn't seem like it's that important. But if you come in and you need all four shocks, front-end components are just all smoked, have play. You know, you got this, like, ticking that you want to look at. Well, exhaust manifolds are leaking. And or they've got, like, holes cut in the exhaust because the cats were plugged. Like, whatever. There is a high likelihood that if a vehicle has not been maintained for a couple years and it's just been driven, it's going to need $3,000 to $5,000 in just every bit of maintenance that it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, going back to some of the numbers higher up on the list, it's like, does it have its maintenance? It'll be very easy to tell during a pre-buy if it's been maintained.
Yeah, like you said, worth every penny. Just get the full report before you make your decision blindly.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many people have come through that I've talked to. They're like, man, I just bought this thing. I wish I would have known this before I bought it. And it's like people probably, just like you said, would probably still purchase the vehicle but would negotiate the price accordingly.
Because those clients are like, hey, I just bought this. Let me get an inspection. And then we're like, oh, it needs $3,000 to $5,000 worth of work. And they're like, well, god dang. Like, you could have done this before signing the papers.
Yeah. But, and it goes the other way. Like you said, we've had clients come in where they knew they've had, like, catastrophic engine or transmission failure, and they just want to be verified that it's actually that. And we tell them, they're like, all right, well, I'm going to go start searching for a new vehicle. And it's like, please bring us the car first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we'd like to be the bearer of bad news. I'd much rather, you know, we've looked at a bunch of vehicles where it's like, oh, no, just needs this, you know, probably needs like $300 worth of stuff, and you're groovy. And so, like, a lot of stuff checks out, but I'd much rather have those conversations, but far too often is it actually, it's like $3 to $5.
Have you ever been in the lobby when the buyer and the seller both show up?
Yes.
And then you do the inspection?
Yep.
And you got all the facts, and you're sliding across the table to the buyer, and the seller is giving you the evil eye because you're calling them out?
Yep. But here's the thing. if they're giving you the evil eye, if they're giving you stink face, it's because they knew, right? And when I felt genuinely bad is when a seller has no idea that, like, the little bit of burning oil is actually because it needs a head gasket or something. And they're just like, they're kind of caught off guard too.
Yeah, so that's, but like you said, you're being paid to find the truth. That's it.
Yes.
We're just giving you the facts.
Yep.
Yep.
So it is very vital. It could save you a lot of headache. And even if you spend $300 on three different vehicle inspections to find the vehicle that you want, that works for you, that $300 is well spent to save you that $3,000 to $5,000. So definitely worth it.
Man,
doing.
I don't know what else is on this list, but I feel like that's pretty much number one. It's something nobody thinks of.
Mm-hmm.
You spend $100 and get a pre-buy, and everything else you've already listed can kind of get, like, if you don't know the maintenance, we'll figure out what condition it's in, mm-hmm. like all these things for you.
You know, just thinking out loud, you know, maybe this is a conversation for off radio. We should look into see what it would take to offer a Carfax report with our pre-buy inspections.
Mm.
Because we're already enrolled in, like, the Carfax stuff. We report to Carfax. I wonder. Just something to think about.
Yeah, a little bonus.
Number four, exterior and frame damage. So kind of like you said, if the body seems okay, you're mechanically inclined, you don't really care if it needs ball joints. But if glass, body paint, everything looks squared away good, you know. But this right here, you know, a shiny car can still hide secrets. So look for mismatched paint, uneven gaps, rust in the wheels. Check under the car for bent frames or leaks. Shoot, I can speak on that. Remember my Trailblazer SS?
Mm-hmm.
That thing on the exterior had a little bit of, like, surface rust. Was an East Coast vehicle. Crawled under that thing. Frame rails were non-existent.
And that was like a C-channel frame.
Yeah.
And it just rotted out.
Yep.
We've had those where we don't even want to put it on our lift because
yes,
it might break in half.
Yes.
There's nothing holding this car together.
Yep. Terrifying that that's going down the road.
So that's, I guess that plays into why, yeah, I don't really want to mess with reconstructs on a business level.
Yes.
Because all we did was, you know, an oil change on this thing, but then it goes down the road and falls apart. Like, I just don't want to be responsible.
You guys are the last one to touch it. And so loving to detail cars from really young age, I've been able to pick, I could tell a lot of times when there's a reconstruct because I love shiny paint. I'm just a fool for it. And I could pull on to some of these lots and look at trucks that I was interested in. I'd have to ask, was that a total? Like what accident, like how bad was the accident on that door? Oh, it's never been hit. And then I get further into the process and I get the Carfax or I speak to somebody else and they're like, oh yeah, we just got this repainted and you know, it had this and it's like, ah, cause you can just see like the difference in orange peel on like the body. Like, cause every car is going to have a little bit from the factory. Some third party paint jobs from like smaller shops here in town, all paint jobs are not created equal, you know? So, it's just very telling. Or if it's perfect, like I said, that Trailblazer, like you look at the paint and you wouldn't necessarily think this thing's got to have frame damage.
Right.
So,
And they make tools. I mean, you can bring the flashlight, look for weird, you know, weird patterns or waves in the paint or door panels and look for body damage that way. But they make a tool. It's essentially just a magnet and it has like a super soft felt tip. So you're not just tinking on someone's car that's not even yours yet with a piece of metal, but
Like check for Bondo.
Which I mean, I don't know how common filler is used anymore. Like if you smash a panel, they just bolt a new one on and paint it.
Yeah.
Like I don't think Bondo is really, maybe that's buying older cars where you're looking for filler to see how how damaged that panel is under the paint.
I would still think even a lot of these panels, they show up and they're still going to have a skim layer of filler on them. The magnet's still going to probably work.
Yeah.
But they, well,
when
they
it
all
doesn't,
get a skim
then that's
coat
when
of
you
like,
know that it's just smoked.
Yeah.
The Drive. We'll be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Is your car feeling more tired than Monday morning without coffee? It might be time for an oil change. Don't let your car hit snooze on maintenance. Bring it to us, where we'll give it the wake-up call it deserves. Our oil changes start as low as $49, and that's for the good stuff. We're talking synthetic. And every oil change comes with a free safety inspection, plus we can check your filters and top off your fluids while we're at it, at a price that will leave you with plenty of pizza money. That's Glacier Garage at the end of South Cushman, just behind GCR Tire. Open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at glaciergarage.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's websites and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it, sure, why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to The Drive on KFAR Radio.
And so, moving down the list, number three, interior wear and tear. So, you know, low mileage car shouldn't have seats that look like they've survived a bar fight or animal attacks. Ripped seats, broken knobs, musty smells. You know, you get into a car and it smells like week-old wet laundry. Could have previous flood damage. Could have had a heater core that leaked and just saturated the carpet. There could be mold under all that stuff. And let me tell you, you know, you're talking about home inspection, stuff like that, black mold, all that stuff exists in cars, too. Up here, it's not as bad. Like South Florida, I bet you had a lot of cars that smelled musty because it's just humid.
They had a lot of, like, insect infestations.
Mm, I wouldn't have thought about
that.
There
was cars that would have ants. Like, there was ants in your car. Like, they lived in there. That was their home now. Or roaches, same thing.
Oof.
And like these little German roaches where I do like a airbag control module, which is underneath like the driver's seat. As soon as I peel that carpet back, there's just thousands of them pouring out. Or you get them peeking out of the vents. Yeah. You're just driving the car and you turn the little AC on and you see the antennas come out of the vent. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I'll just close all the vents because here they come,
dude. I remember you telling me, was this South Florida? Or was this up here? The spider truck.
Oh yeah, it was a forestry truck in South Florida, and that was probably the only vehicle I ever was too, I guess, disgusted with to get into.
Yeah,
like I mean, I had been in some nasty stuff. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings and be like, hey man, you should probably detail your car before bringing it in.
Yeah,
but it's like, we've seen some nasty stuff. Mm-hmm. We've seen, like, there's literally, like, one of the pee pads that you'd use when you're training a puppy on the seat. Mm-hmm. And it's soaked yellow. Probably, you know, an elderly person that drives the car and
yeah,
soiled themselves on the driver's seat. And they're there for an oil change. Like,
what am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do? Like, yeah. I don't want to be rude, but what am I supposed to do with this? Anyway, so this truck, I mean, I've seen some nasty stuff, but this one, it sounded like Velcro when I opened the door because of all of the cobwebs or spider webs that I was tearing just by opening the door.
Wow.
And that's just a common occurrence, I guess. Those trucks are in that environment all day just being worked on to where you park them for 24 hours and they're just, I mean, webs everywhere. So I don't know what they're, I don't know if they put like a broom in there and give it a twirl or what their deal is, but like open that door, just peeling open all of these
spider webs,
and there were, like, not even exaggerating, thousands of spiders in there.
How'd that make you feel?
I was just like, what am I supposed to do with this? And it's funny because I went up to the advisor and I was like, hey man, I'm not pulling this in, you know. And he's all calling me words, like, man, you can't, give me those keys. And like went over there to do it, and he's like, he opened the door and then shut the door. I was like, nope. I was like, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
But we ended up getting it inside. Somebody was brave enough to hop in that thing and peel it into the shop. And then I grabbed a shop vac and just started going.
That's
to
what
town.
I was
going
to say. That's the only way I would have to, shop vac all that stuff out and like give myself a little peace of mind to get in that thing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
no, crazy. Not interested. That is pretty wild. So, next one is going to be mileage versus condition. So mileage tells a story, but it's not the whole story. It's true. A 150,000-mile car can be better than an 80,000-mile car if it's maintained better, if it's not just used and abused. Look at, again, you know, kind of going back to some of these earlier numbers here, it's like that 80,000-mile car may have not been maintained, may have needed a timing belt at 60,000 miles, not got it, all these things. But if you got records for a car with 150,000 miles and everything's been done like it should, that car is actually probably in much better condition than that 80,000 mile rig.
For sure. One thing I was thinking of, and I don't know if it's on your list at all, but you're talking about mileage per vehicle. Like, man, we had like a 2022 Jeep come in with like 80,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this thing's 3 years old.
Yeah.
And it's almost got 100K on it. Like, yeah. Holy cow.
Well, I feel like that's more common in lower 48 where people are driving far to like get to work every day. So like commuting or like people living down in Anchorage. Imagine driving that drive from like Palmer, Wasilla to Anchorage every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're putting 100 miles on your car every day that you go to work.
Yeah, it's nutty.
So higher mileage isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just, is it maintained? I mean, like, it's crazy. Like you said, I feel like all of this can be kind of just not as important if you just get a pre-buy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just get a pre-buy, it'll be very telling. Like,
or, well, that too, but check the idle hours if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go into the dash and look at engine hours.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially if it's a Super Duty or something.
Yeah.
That thing could have spent its entire life idling.
Yeah, if you're buying a white, a red, or an orange Super Duty Cummins, any diesel pickup, check the engine hours.
Yeah, because that thing probably only has like 20K on it.
20,000 miles with, yeah.
Yeah, 20,000 miles on it with tens of thousands of idle hours.
Yeah.
So that thing's probably, the engine probably is the equivalent of like 300K on it.
Yeah, just wore out. And they're idle hours, so it's probably carbon sooted. Mm-hmm. Everything is just, yeah, unhappy. So, and it's crazy. Like, I don't know much about diesels, but I do know they like to be worked. And so if you just town drive that old diesel truck and you've never, like, put heavy load on that thing and really gotten things hot, yeah, it's probably not a happy truck. It's probably going to need more than even a heavy-use truck, unless it's a Ford, like, 6.0. That's a ticking time bomb, no matter what.
We do have people here, though, that know a lot about diesels.
At our shop?
Yeah, you said, I don't know a whole lot about diesels.
I don't. No, yeah, no, no. Yeah.
I just wanted
good clarification. We have great diesel techs. I am not a technician. I will not be touching your vehicle, just so you know. But, yeah, so mileage isn't everything. Vehicle condition is definitely, you know, something that varies per vehicle, per owner. I'd like to think I take pretty decent care of my stuff. I used to not. I did not see value in that. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to drive it until the wheels fall off. And now I'm like, nah, man, I'm still going to drive it till the wheels fall off, but I'm going to try my best to keep them on forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, because maintenance is definitely more affordable than repairs. So I've learned my lesson the hard way. And so number one is price versus market value. If the price is too good to be true, well, kind of know the rest based on what we've all talked about in this two-part episode. So check your comparables. Check your Kelley Blue Book, your Edmunds, your Facebook values, your what's the big one that we use up here? It's
NADA?
NADA, yep. Now it's like JD Power. They mm-hmm. bought NADA. And then just stay aware. Be aware of, like, the quick sale. Like, I'm selling this because, and I got to get, like, again, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And it's funny because I'm worse now than I used to be as far as being, like, an emotional buyer. Like, before, when I was a lot younger, I was very good at, like, being detached from a car that I wanted, and I was very comfortable walking away if I didn't think it was a good deal. Now, I'm an emotional buyer. I'm like, no, I got to have it. It just feels so, like, it'd be so cool. And then, like, you'll just do whatever it takes to, like, make it happen instead of, like, being comfortable and, like, listening to your gut and just walking away. I don't have any recent purchases that make me feel that way, but, well, Trailblazer. I shouldn't have bought that Trailblazer.
That was a smoking deal. You got all your money back, didn't you?
Yes, I did get my money back, but, you know.
But you were fully transparent with the guy buying it. He was a body guy.
Yes,
100%. And just down to do it.
And he just rebuilt that thing and listed it. And if anybody out there is looking for a Trailblazer SS, one of the guys over at Precision Collision completely frame up, like, restoed that thing. Like, I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, repainted the whole thing. It's got a brand new frame under it. I don't know what kind of mechanical stuff he did to it, but pretty dialed.
You love that thing. It ripped.
Yeah.
Like, it was very well running, like, just a good quality car to drive. Because even though it had body damage at the time, you still ripped it. You're like, I just enjoy driving it.
Yeah, no, it was a cool little SUV. Like, And he's, I mean, not a bad deal. I can't imagine.
He should buy it back.
He's tried to sell it to me. I'm just not in a position. Like, if I was in a financial position to buy it, but it's like, dude, I'm not. So, yeah, I made other poor financial decisions, like a bagged Silverado. So, frames cut up on that thing, you know.
On purpose.
That was kind of venturing into the unknown. That's, like, same thing. I drove to Anchorage and was just like, already had the loan, like, everything, like, before I even went there. So it's like, it was a done deal. It was just a negotiation on price at that point. And so, you know, I got a good vibe from the seller. He seemed like a decent guy.
So how do you do that? Like, if I've got a cashier's check for 20K and I get there and I'm like, man, I want to give you 16 for this because of X, Y, and Z.
So here's, like, do you recall a previous story of mine?
No.
I've done that.
Okay.
It's a mistake.
So how do you negotiate when you have the check made up?
You don't. You're an idiot. So when I went and bought my daughter's pickup, I went and bought her an 03 Silverado SS because I watched one get totaled and had someone walk away from it. So I was like, you know what? It's a safe truck. I'm going to put my daughter in one of those. Went down to go get it, and I had a number in my head. I was like, he's not going to take less than this. So I got the check made out for that, and then I brought cash for anything that was going to be over. And so I'm driving this thing, and I'm just picking it apart on the test drive. And, you know, I'm showing the guy pictures of my SS, and he was from the SS forum, so, like, we knew who each other were without knowing each other. And so I'm like, oh, man, Mike, what's your bottom dollar on this thing? And it was $1,000 less than my check. And I was just like, well, it's your lucky day, man. So here's what I'm going to give you. And he's like, well, you know, we could just meet tomorrow. And I'm like, dude, I got to be at work. I'm doing a turn and burn. I'm driving home right now. And, like, he's a cool enough guy where he would have, like, he's like, well, I'll just mail you the other five. I'm like, nah, man, it's my fault. Enjoy. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. And, you know, but so.
Sorry for giving you an extra G.
Yeah. You know, and he's probably super thankful. He did wait until like 11:30 at night for me, so he was very accommodating. But yeah, so on that note, I would say get less in the check and more in cash, like, because the way that loan worked out is I could have had him put it all in my account. I could have brought it all as cash, but I was like, you know, I took a cashier's check and did it that way.
Idiot, man,
cost me a grand.
This is actually really funny too. So when I sold that Z06, right? So it was a red Corvette, made like 600 wheel, 427 in it, and it booked for like, I think it booked for like 30. I ended up selling for 35 because of all the mods I'd done to it. And that dude showed up with a like grease-stained Dunkin' Donuts bag. Like, it had the, like, it was almost going to tear because, like, he definitely ordered like some oily breakfast sandwich that morning. So I had a Dunkin' Donuts bag with 35 racks and cash in the thing.
Doesn't seem shady at all. He pass the vibe check?
Well, he did because his story kind of checked out that he owned a used car dealership.
Hmm.
So he wanted to buy the, that was for his personal collection, but, like, he was probably just used to wheeling and dealing, had cash on hand.
Yeah.
And, like, buying cars was not, you know, new to him. So he just rolled in like it was nothing. Here's 35 G's and, you know, I took some photos with it like I was cool and then took it to the bank.
Yeah.
Like, man, I wish this money was mine, but I got to pay this thing off.
I know I never got to ride in that thing. I was sad.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a raw car. I'd like to rip in the Lambo now and see, like,
how that feels.
I'm sure it's comparable, but maybe not. I don't know.
That was a different experience. I got to say, like, I don't know if I've ever, just the acceleration, like the zero to, you know, 40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've felt something pull that hard. Like, it was very shocking. I was surprised.
Nice.
Like, I didn't have high expectation because it's not that fast, but it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely different.
Heck yeah. Well, I guess that's all the time we have for the second half of our two-part episode there. Hopefully you guys learned some stuff, and we'll catch you next week on The Drive.
You've been listening to The Drive on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. The Drive is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.